Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're joined on the telephone during this final segment by Tuolumne County Supervisor Carl Rotifer, who represents District 5. Supervisor Rotifer, next question I want to ask is in regards to businesses that the governor says cannot open yet at this point in time. You know, I know a lot of businesses are getting antsy to open if they're not allowed to at this point. What are kind of the concerns if they just went ahead and decided to open anyway?
Well, BJ, while, you know, we can obviously choose to enforce or not enforce at the local level, and honestly, we're not in the police state mode here locally. We would prefer not to be put in that position. But I think that some businesses, and especially in some licensed business sectors such as cosmetology and alcoholic beverage control, I think really need to understand that the governor has shown a willingness to enforce from the state level. And obviously, I was talking to one restaurateur about the possibility of them opening up. And she shared with me that ABC, for instance, can, with anybody that's got a liquor license, come in, and the first violation can be as much as $10,000, and they could lose their liquor license. So, and liquor licenses are tough to get. I've got one for my wine business, so I've gone through that process. I know how tough it can be. So that could be, I mean, businesses need to consider the possibility. I'm not telling them what to do, yes or no. Cosmetology, they almost all of those people in that business sector have state-issued licenses as well. They are threatening to, I know a couple of cosmetology businesses here in the local area that have received letters from their state board threatening to pull their licenses and stating very frankly, that they are going to be out looking and enforcing. So I'm not going to tell people what to do, but I think everybody needs to understand what the potential consequences are, and obviously they've got to make their own decisions. I think that we need to the extent possible, continue to comply with the state guidelines, and let us, those of us that are really working hard to break this logjam loose, give us a chance to work the problem. But again, you know, I can't tell people what decision to make for themselves.
We've heard a little too about Sutter and Yuba counties kind of defying the governor. Have you heard much if they've had any, you know, discourse or a fallback for doing that?
Yes, they got a letter dated the 7th of May, both counties. That basically, I can actually read you a quote from it. It says the county's actions could threaten the county eligibility for disaster funding. The funding is designed to assist jurisdictions facing extraordinary circumstances beyond the jurisdiction's capability. If the county believes there is no emergency such that it can ignore the governor's executive orders or state public health officer's directives, the county would not be able to demonstrate that it was extraordinarily or disproportionately impacted by the virus. This could jeopardize its future funding. Further, disaster assistance programs prohibit a jurisdiction from receiving funding for a condition caused by its own negligence. Should Sutter County experience a surge in COVID-19 cases as a result of hasty and careless actions, the county may not be eligible for reimbursement. So the governor is clearly using every means at his disposal to enforce compliance with his orders and those of his health officer. That's all I have to say about that.
How about the issue of recreation? Has that been a challenging one as well because different areas have different natural environment and so forth?
Sure. BJ, one of the things that we've been advocating most recently, as most people know, the traffic that comes up from either Bay Area or the Valley it's not staying away. And quite frankly, we don't have the resources to wall off our county from it. They're coming. Whether the governor says they should be or not, they're coming. We've seen it every weekend in the last 3 to 4 weeks. As soon, once the weather started getting nice, they're on their way up here. And there's not much that we can do about keeping them out. The problem is that with recreation being in generally in stage three, keeping our facilities shut down does two things. One, it takes the population that does come up here and it concentrates it in a smaller area. So it's sort of self-defeating to keep those facilities closed down. The other thing is that they don't have restrooms. They don't have places to get rid of their trash and everything. They just leave it where, you know, they do their business in the woods. They leave their trash on the side of the road, and it just creates a bigger health hazard all the way around. I think that the walks in Sacramento that are making the decisions are looking at recreation from an urban perspective, and we're not talking about shooting hoops in a park somewhere. We're talking about people hiking and fishing and boating, doing activities that are in small groups, widely separated, in a terrain that's pretty wide open. It's not like an urban park setting, an urban recreation setting, or anything like that. So we've been pushing for a recognition that there's a difference between outdoor rural recreation and urban recreation that I think most of the people that come from urban areas most closely identify with. And we're working really, really hard to get our recreation areas open. A lot of people are worried about that because they think that that's going to be an attractor to people coming from the Bay Area and the Valley. But I got to tell you, they're coming anyway. And all we're doing is further concentrating them in a smaller area by keeping those things closed. Plus, those are some businesses that will add to our economy and everything as well. And some of them, we really don't want to lose them. And we could lose them forever if we can't get them back open. So in the main, I think that we really need to treat rural outdoor recreation distinctly differently than we do urban recreation.
Well, Supervisor Rotifer, we appreciate you coming on. We've got about 30 seconds left. Any final comments you'd like to make?
I just want to thank everybody in this county for hanging in there and hanging together. It's really, really important that we don't let this crisis divide us. And so let's pull together and let's get through it. And BJ, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Well, we thank Supervisor Carl Rotifer for joining us on this weekend's Motherlode Views, getting us up to speed on everything that's happening with the local business community and the transition into Stage 2 now. Also want to thank our guest from the first segment, Sonora City Administrator Mary Rose Rudikanga. This is Motherlode Views. We'll be back next week with another show. A reminder, if you missed this show, you can find it archived up on mymotherlode.com. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.